down a notch.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. For one of the world's biggest automakers and sellers, this is pretty big. Fitch Ratings has cut Toyota's top-notch credit rating, blaming the world auto market slump and surging yen. It's the latest sign that it, too, is suffering from the global slowdown. The automaker's shares dropped more than 4.5% in Tokyo today. And that did a number on the Nikkei. Japan shares were lower, down more than 110 points, but the Hang Seng finished higher, and so did the Chinese market. European shares are lower, 1 to 2%. American markets were pretty much flat yesterday, with the Dow and S&P stocks up a few. NASDAQ was down a few. A lot of economic data due today to chew on before Thanksgiving. Reports are scheduled on weekly jobless claims, personal income and spending, durable goods, and new home sales. Environmental ministers meet next week in Poland, looking at ways to reduce global emissions. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
Countries have been stepping up their commitment to reduce greenhouse gases, but the global cash crunch could mean less money for clean energy development, says Mark Bernstein with USC's Energy Institute.
I think that developing countries in particular are going to say, well, this is not the time for them to be introducing new environmental legislation.
The U.S. and Europe are expected to press ahead with some reforms that could create global momentum, says David Doniger with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Other countries have been waiting for a signal that the United States is going to get off the sidelines and back in the game.
Doniger points out President-elect Barack Obama has already sent a powerful signal. He's pledged to commit more than $150 billion to develop clean energy infrastructure over the next decade. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Seems like the past year has been a time of toy recalls, choking dangers, fire dangers, and the big one, Chinese-made toys putting kids at risk. Well, here we go again, and here we are again in holiday toy time. Have things changed? Not so much, according to one watchdog group. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
Last year's spate of toy recalls prompted Congress to pass the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act. The law is supposed to clamp down on lead levels in toys, as well as toxic chemicals called phthalates used in some plastics. But it doesn't go into effect until February. Liz Hitchcock is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group.
It's really buyer beware this holiday shopping season.
So how are parents supposed to tell if a toy is potentially dangerous? Hitchcock admits it's tough from outside the box.
We think that if they have any suspicion that the paint on a toy is cheaply made or the toy itself is kind of shoddily made, that they just not buy it.
She says parents should avoid toys made out of more malleable, softer plastic. She says it's the chemicals in that type of plastic that can harm children's development. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Sounds like a pretty varied bunch. U2, Jay-Z, The Killers, and even the Dixie Chicks, Dylan. They're all behind a digital magazine that launches Monday. You pay $5 a month, and you get a new issue each week. Each issue includes songs and videos and photographs. Proceeds from Redwire, that's what it's called, will go to HIV/AIDS care in Africa.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient serving groups at medtronic.com/community. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Here's another piece of the fallout from the financial crisis. We could soon see the most hunger in this nation since at least the recession of the early 1980s, maybe even going back to the 1960s. That's word from some experts. The Washington Post reports today the number of Americans using food stamps to buy groceries was expected to pass 30 million this month. That's a new record. Numbers from the Agriculture Department are expected soon. This week, President-elect Obama introduced a new economic team and revealed a plan for economic recovery. We're hearing about another stimulus package, but is that what the country needs right now? More government spending? Commentator Robert Reich says, without a doubt, yes.
The economy has just about come to a standstill, not because credit markets are clogged, but because there's not enough demand in the economy to keep it going. Consumer spending is down, investment is drying up, and exports are dropping. Government is the spender of last resort, which means we need a stimulus package of about $600 billion, this time focused on repairing the nation's crumbling infrastructure, helping states maintain services, and investing in new green technologies to wean the nation off oil. It's a whopping sum, but spending that puts Americans back to work and invests in future productivity. That's exactly what the economy needs right now. Fiscal hawks will claim the government is already spending way too much. Even without the stimulus package, next year's budget deficit will run over $1 trillion, given what's being spent bailing out Wall Street. The hawks also worry about aging post-war baby boomers, causing Social Security and Medicare costs to skyrocket. What the hawks don't understand is that when the economy has so much underutilized capacity, unemployment soaring, factories idled, office space empty, government spending that pushes the economy to fuller capacity will of itself shrink future deficits. Meanwhile, conservative supply-siders are calling for income tax cuts, claiming that people with more money in their pockets will get the economy moving again more readily than can government. They are wrong, too. Tax cuts go mainly to upper-income people who tend to save rather than spend. Even if a rebate could be fashioned for the middle class, it wouldn't do much good because, as we saw the last time around, people tend to use extra cash to pay off debts rather than buy goods and services. Besides, individual purchases won't guarantee and generate as many American jobs as spending on infrastructure and social services, because much of what we as individuals buy comes from abroad. The real challenge is for government to avoid having the stimulus money go to pork projects like Bridges to Nowhere. That requires a true capital budget that lays out the nation's priorities rather than the priorities of powerful Washington interest groups.
Robert Reich is a professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His most recent book is called Super Capitalism in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.